Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. This is the instant inspiration for this evening. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. These words said so many hundreds of years ago by our dear friend, Mr. Goethe, still have the same impact, the same meaning, the same draw to us today as they did to him. And if you ever saw a man who let go and let the divine in him shine forth, Mr. Goethe was certainly one of those. He was a magic man in every field that he touched. He was a mental giant. He was a man who thought positive, beautiful thoughts for a country that was always out looking to go into wars, always out looking to go into manipulation and control. He was really a man out of his country. The country of Germany was a country of science and a country of, intellect, a country of mind. And of course, he was a great mind too. But what he taught was that listening within. He taught that you can dream. He taught that you can accomplish anything you want. Anything that you think you can do, you can go and do it, he said. But they didn't quote him for that. I attended the Goethe School of, German in, Munich, and it was a very fascinating place to be. I was with all the ambassadors' children and other people who were learning German so they could be, you know, friendly in German. And we had a lot of good times. But our teacher was a very Gestapo-type lady, just so strict and so definite, do this, do that, do that. And everybody sort of snickered and laughed, and then they went off and did whatever they wanted to do. And she didn't inspire us to learn. She inspired us to do the opposite of what she was doing, which, of course, hurt us more than it hurt her. But it also hurt her because she didn't accomplish the goal that she had for herself, presumably to teach us. Whatever you do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. So when we start having dreams, we start having ideas of things we'd like to accomplish, we just go out and do it. Just go out and accomplish it. I remember now, 1948, when I was a beautiful, fabulous, marvelous, outstanding, exquisite 21-year-old, and I knew everything. I was brilliant. I had my ordination, I had my degrees, I had accomplished great wondrous things in a very short time. The only thing I didn't have was the self-confidence necessary to go out and apply it. And this is what happens to all of us. We don't have that boldness that is genius to go out and just do. Now, I had been taught and trained by my parents, who were good German parents, that you don't make mistakes. You, at least certainly, don't purposefully make them. If you make them at all, it's not your intention to make them. But if I had gone out and just done what I felt I liked to do, I would have been great. Because I read about so many people who went out and just did their thing, and they were great. Now, what would I have been great in? Would I have been great in changing the world? No. Would I have been great in teaching people the philosophy of the Christian teachings? No. Would I have been great in being an orator? No. Would I have been great in being a practitioner? No. Would I have been great in being a human being? No. Well, what the heck am I going to be great in, you know? And what I would have been great in was in being myself and having fun. Now you see, if I had had that as my criteria, to be myself and have fun, I would not be living up to anybody else's expectations of me. I would not be doing it so my mother would be proud of me, you know. I would not be doing it so my dad would say, that's my son. I would not be doing it so the world would look at me and say, what a magical, wonderful, fantastic fellow that is. Anytime we do that, we come in for a big fall, because we should be doing it for ourselves. We should be doing it to make us happy. Oh, I was a very dignified fellow. I wore my suit coat. In fact, I had two beautiful suits and double-breasted suits at that time. And I had a beautiful overcoat, which was the proper type of material to have. Very exquisite, very proper, and very, very wonderful. It was very expensive, but I wore them. I had good shoes, and everything I had was good. It was really quality. The only thing that I didn't have that was quality was the realization of why I'm doing anything in life. I've been taught, as we all have been taught, do unto our neighbors. Do unto our neighbors. Do for our neighbors first. Give to our neighbors first. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to be so eleemosynary, so open and giving like that. I could give, and I did give, but and I had many places where I gave of my life in a very beautiful way, as I look at it. But that wasn't the point. The point was, I didn't give to myself. I didn't give to myself. I was doing for everybody else. I was making everybody else happy. I was concerned about how I could be helpful in the world, how I could be meaningful in the world, how I could bless the world with all the knowledge and the training and stuff that I had. And as I looked at it from that point of view, I felt so inferior. It's just like the astronauts looking down at the planet Earth, this beautiful blue planet, and thinking to themselves, my goodness sake, here we are, such an infinitesimal speck in the cosmos. And what are we doing with it? And I'm sure Edgar Mitchell must have felt like that as he was up there. And when he came back to Earth, he said virtually every astronaut that he knows of had a spiritual conversion. Not necessarily an outward Jesus Christ conversion or something like that, but it's an inner awareness that there is something grand within us that we could conceive of these things and be a part of this magnificence that's all around us. And that's what he said. That's what he said. We talked about that at great length. And I was saying to him, now, what do you plan to do with your life now? You know, me asking the great astronaut what he's going to do with his life. And he says, I have no idea. He said, I'm just going to take it step by the time. And wherever my inner leads me, that's where I'm going to go. I said, oh, wonderful. But you see, these are the wonderful things when we are illumined. And he certainly was illumined by that journey into outer space and by other journeys, I'm sure. But when we are illumined, we are not interested in what other people think of us. We're not interested in what the world thinks of us. We're not interested in whether we can make the world a better place to live. We know that when we make ourselves a fulfilled being, we make the world a better place to live. Because then we look out of our fulfilled lives, our fulfilled eyes, and we see all the world as beautiful and good. And when you see the world as beautiful and good, you are creating the world beautiful and good, and so it is. But every time you have a negative thought or a negative idea come into your mind, you're making the world a mess. You know? We don't want to take the blame for that, but we do. Every time we think that there's a war, we're endorsing it and making the world a mess. Every time we think there are diseases and unhappinesses anywhere in the world, we're embodying that. We're endorsing that. We're making that a reality in our life. And what a shame. What a sad. With a slight interruption there, as the puppy dog walked past the cables and decided to separate them from the computer. But That doesn't bother us. We're here to be ourselves and have fun. We're here to listen to our heart, to listen to that inner voice within us, and know that what it has to say is something pretty terrific, something pretty wonderful and pretty beautiful. But after we hear it, are we willing to, not willing, but are we strong enough to follow up on what we hear to do? Are we strong enough to follow up? For instance, something says to you, like it did to Richard Bach, you write this book and I won't let go of you until you do. Well, that was nothing with his own inner consciousness, his own inner self. There was no being out there holding on to him. But it was his inner consciousness saying, this is a story that I want written, and you are my medium. You are my medium through which this story will be written. And so Richard Bach wrote the story. What was the story?
Tennyson, Livingston, Seagull.
Illusions.
Illusions. That was the second book. Mm-hmm. The first book was written in two segments. First, mm-hmm. it was written, the first half, and then nothing came. It was void of any inspiration. And then 8 years later, the second half came to him, and he wrote it just as though he had, you know, stopped writing from the first half. Mm-hmm. And a magnificent, beautiful book. And the world didn't clamor for it. The world said, that's a child's book. That's for kids. That's not anything with significance in it. And then he just kept pursuing it. And finally, one person had faith in him and had faith in the story and said, I think that's a winner. And it surely was. And of course, it made a name for him. And he could go on to write the second book and be inspired and do a beautiful job. But he wrote the book for himself. It was his own inner self demanding that he write that book. It was his own inner self demanding he write the other book. And then he started writing some other books which were not written by his inner self. They were written because he felt that there are women and men in the world and that they should be recognized, that we should have a he-she culture and things like that. His other books lost all of their beauty. They lost all of their magic because he had an axe to grind. And in that axe to grind, he put the woman up equal with him and he up equal with the woman. And he was always balancing this act. And it wasn't him. It wasn't him. All of his life, he's been a patriarchal type of person, you know, just a malish person. Not that that's good or bad. But you look at yourself, and every one of you is just as bad as he was. Bad. If you're a woman, you think women are great. If you're a man, you think men are great. And that's the way it should be. And you can also think that women and men are great. But number one is who?
I.
And who are you?
God.
You're a woman. And because you're a woman, you're thinking that this woman is the greatest. Now, Ellen is shaking her head no. She's saying, no, I am God. I am not a woman. Well, Ellen? Yeah, sure you are. But you do appear to be somewhat of a woman.
Yeah.
And with the two children that you had, you certainly played the role very well.
Mm-hmm.
And with the excellent husband you had, you played the role very well again. And you changed your mind from time to time on different areas of your life. And that's perfectly okay. But you see, this is what our friend Goethe was saying. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. But begin it now. Begin it now. Let go and be yourself. Let go and let God. Do we hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Let go and let God. Why do we say let go and let God? Because that's us. It's not somebody else. I put an article on your desk, and it was different people's interpretation of what God is. And some of them were quite nice, and others were very traditional. And both the traditional and my version, quite nice ones, all spoke to an inner intelligence. Like Einstein, he says, there's a genius in me that I haven't even begun to tap. There's a genius in me that's just waiting to be revealed. And this is what all scientists use, are the genius within them. And the genius within them is themselves, is their divine self. He didn't come out and say, you're God, I'm God. But he made a definite statement. And then the rabbi, he was making his statement in very clear tones. And he says, there is nothing but God on the face of the earth. Everything is God. And then the retired father of the university president, he said, we each have within us the same power, the same genius, the same wisdom, because God is everywhere. Now, interesting. I mean, you can construct it in no other way than to know that you are the power. And so it is important to say, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it, because boldness has genius and power and magic in it, but begin it now. It's up to us to not wait, because the longer we wait, the more we're going to kick ourselves around the block later and say, why didn't I start that earlier? This is fun. Why didn't I decide I'm going to go and learn to ride a horse and get myself a ranch and ride it? What do you need a ranch for? What do you need to ride a horse for? I want to. I don't have to, but I want to. And, you know, this person had no way of making money. No way of buying a ranch. No way of being a horseman. No way of doing any of these things. He was a city boy. But then he had a desire, and he let the desire carry him, and he flowed with the desire, and the money was there. The money was there. Every time you turn around, if you have a dream, and your dream is pure and true and good and beautiful for you, it will have its way of accomplishing itself. But if we let go and let the divine in us show us the way, because this is how that works. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it, but begin it now. And when you begin it now, you'll be the happiest being in the universe. You won't have money right away. You won't have all these things right away, but you could. But what you will do, I'm finally doing what I want to do. And then all of the objections that said it couldn't happen will come to you. Not the objection will come to you, but all the things that you felt couldn't happen will come to you. All the ability to pay your way, to be there in divine order. So I say to you, do it today. Do it now. Know that you're number one. Know that you're great. Know that every direction that you go in life is a beautiful direction. And the quotes I was referring to from the rabbi and the priest and so forth, they were in the Saturday Evening Post in the current issue. Very fascinating things that we can read and know about and learn about. So, my friends, I love you. I love you. I love you. It is a great day.